Right, well, welcome back to the Longball Football End of Season Awards Show. If you listened to part one, we've already discussed our manager of the season, player of the season, young player of the season, and Equipo de la Sal. So go back and listen to that if you haven't already. But Barney, we're here for the second part of the show, in which we'll be discussing not only our teams of the season, but a team of the season comprised of players not in the big three, to try and give some credit to some of the
that's my favorite part of the season, Albert.
I look forward to it every year. We've done it every year since we started, and yeah, we always look forward to it. So yeah, I think we've both picked a team each, by the way. This is not combined, so we'll kind of pick our own and then talk through them. So yeah, Bonnie, why don't I let you start if you want? Just run me through your team in a season, and then we'll go through the players that you picked.
Well, I've started off with just a little point, Albert.
Here we go.
Well, I've gone with a 3-4-3 formation, right? And
formation is important.
It is important. And what I was going to say was quite interesting, that in this league, the managers who we would deem as having a good season, I would say, all play 3-4-3, right? You've got Magradia, Nacional, Matos at Santa Clara, Ian Caffer at Estoril, João Pereira at Casapia, Rui Borja at Sporting, and you can maybe throw Anselmi in the mix as well.
And now Barney's putting his name into that.
And now Barney Carter Phillips with it. But I think that's really interesting, right? Because, you know, that's six managers who play three at the back. And I think there's also been others who have utilised that formation at times during the season. And I was going to say, there's just no other league in Europe that does that, right? The managers playing that many, playing that sort of system. And I wonder if you can call it the Amorim effect. I think it's interesting. You know, I think it's interesting that this year the managers, like I said, who would deem successful, use that formation. And I would say that it's maybe their systems that have been their success rather than the story of individual players. We were sort of discussing on the last part about how, you know, maybe there's been harder, it's harder, well, doing these teams, it's perhaps been harder to identify individuals, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just interesting. So I've also found it, I think generally also it's been harder to identify fullbacks, really, who have done well. So anyway, I've gone for 3-4-3, Albert, and I'll give you my team. So I've gone for Trubin in goal, and I've got a back three of Otamendi, Quaresma, and Diamande. A midfield four of Trincao, De Bast, Gustavo Sarr, and Carreras. And then an attacking three of Jokeres, Pavlidis, and Samu.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, do you want to take it one position at a time? Let's start with a goalkeeper. I mean, Trubin, I think, a fairly standard pick. I mean, do you know what, Barney? Looking at this now, I think we've made a mistake. And I think we've done what we always do and overlooked the goalkeepers in the Player of the Season awards. Because I feel like Trubin, actually, when you think about it, probably deserved a shout for Player of the Season, because I think he's been, I just think he's been quality for Benfica.
Well, I don't know. He has been amazing, and his stock has risen dramatically. But what I find interesting is, you know, I think the big talk is about Diogo Costa leaving this summer and where he's going to go. And I honestly think Trubin could get just as big a move as Costa gets.
Well, I think he was the better keeper this season.
Yeah, for sure. And he's similar age profile. He's been so good. And not that he's needed to be so much, like Benfica have been quite solid defensively, but he's still pulled off the odd amazing save. He's still very young. He's stood out more for me than Costa. He's looked so good. And like I said, I think the thing for me is thinking about, you know, players who might leave this league and where they might go, and if there's any like top clubs looking, sniffing around. I don't know, man. He could be one of the next big keepers in world football. I think he's really been fantastic.
I completely agree. And then go on, just run through the back three.
Yeah, well, I think Otamendi's quite an easy shout. I think he's been so good despite his age. You know, another good year in Portugal. I think Antonio Silva has looked better this year because of him. They've obviously been that partnership has been building over the past few seasons, and Silva's looking more and more comfortable. defensive actions as well. Look at stats wise, he's good there. Diamande, I put in there because I think Coates leaving, I was always thinking that was going to be huge for Sporting, and I think Diamande's really stepped up in that sense, playing in that sense, the center of the three. I think he's had a sort of coming of age season, really. I think the sort of yeah, I think he's and he's improved as the season gone on, I would say. I think he's looking better and better. And finally, Kresma. I think maybe Kresma's the more interesting of the three. I
What makes
think
him stand out for you above, for example, Inacio?
what makes him stand out above Inacio is those moments, the goal,
It's a great point.
the fact that he started at right back a couple of times when Ruud Brugge first started. Inacio is obviously a quality player, but Quaresma just had those. He just stands out more for me. I think if you're looking at Sporting winning the league for the second year in a row, he's more important than Inacio.
I love it. It's a big shout, but I really like that. Yeah, three good choices. And then go on. So you went for a four in midfield, but I've already seen a couple of wingers, but that's all right. I think we'll let you off.
Well, it's
Take it
not
with a pinch
tactical.
of salt, these positions, you
Yeah, well, I wanted to put Carreras in, so I put him on the left side of the midfield.
know.
Trincão obviously is, we've talked about him in the main thing. De Bast as well. Gustavo Sarr, I guess, is the interesting one, right? And I think I put him in because.
This is the Famalicão player. We should clarify
Well,
in
yes,
case anybody's not familiar.
yeah, the Famalicão attacking midfielder, and I put him in because I think he's had a brilliant individual season. I think for Famalicão struggled; they've been a sort of a non-story all season, really.
Yeah,
But
very average, very middling.
he's been talked about for a couple of seasons now. But this was his season where he stood out, and I think when you look at the big teams, and I think when you look at the midfield and those central midfielders. We mentioned Hulman, obviously, and I think that's a story in itself. But I wanted to put De Bast in because I like De Bast. I like watching De Bast more than Hulman. And then I was like, I don't know. I think I honestly think Gustavo Sarr could walk into any team in the league. I
I
don't know
like
if that.
it. I like it.
And I think he would have made Benfica better this year. I think he would have made Porto better this year. And obviously, Sporting is different because of the system, and I don't know if he walks in there, but I think that's why I've put him in now. But I think, and yeah, I, yeah, that's my point. That's my reason.
No, fantastic. I really like that. And I think, you make a great point about the fact that it's hard for individuals to stand out when their team isn't particularly catching the headlines. So I think, no, that's a great point. And I really rate him as well as a player. So, mate, I'm more than happy to see him in the team in the season. And then go on, what about the front three?
Oh, the front three are just goals, right? It's like three big men. Jokeres is obviously Pavlidis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I'm coming around to the idea we should have put him on our shortlist for player of the season. Was it Tom who made the point last week about if Jokeres is not here,
Yeah.
Pavlidis is the exciting striker in world football, right? Like
That's true.
he's had a good year, and then Samu as well. I don't know. I think that's more of a personal thing, but I really like Samu. I like watching him. And I said instinct earlier when I was talking about him. I think that's, yeah. I think that's why I've included him because I like that sort of striker.
I would, part of me, Barney, would just love to see a real game with that front three in real life. Just three big men. You can tell Barney's penchant for players. But yeah, I think it's a great team. Yeah, really, really interesting picks, especially Gustavo Sarr, who I think is a really nice pick to give him some credit. All right, go on. I'll tell you my team then, Barney. And there are some differences. Often there's not many differences in our teams, but there are some differences this time around. I've gone for a different formation. I've gone for a 4-3-3. I'm trying to keep it traditional. You'll see later there's maybe one where the positioning is maybe slightly out, but there you go. So my goalkeeper, the same one, Anatoly Trubin. My back four are Thomas Araujo, Ousmane Diamande, Gonçalo Inácio, and Álvaro Carreras. midfield three of Morten Hjulmand, Kotsu, and Rodrigo Mora, and a front
Oof.
three of Trincão, Victor Gyökeres, and Pavlidis. So yeah, different formation, but I think some so yeah, some similarities. The difference, by obviously, I mean, you picked Carreras as well. I put him in a back four. You put him on a wing back. But yeah, both got Carreras in there. I got him at left back. I've also got Diamande at centre back. The difference is, though, I did go for Thomas Araújo from Benfica at right back. The reason being, I think he was the standout breakthrough player for Benfica this season. And I think he was better than Antonio Silva. I think he had the kind of what's it called? He could play both right back and centre back, which I liked a lot, and I thought he was quite effective in both positions. And I think for a young player, he's playing at a really high level, and I think he's almost, perhaps for me, Bayern kind of exceeded my expectations compared to Antonio Silva. So yeah, that's why I went for him.
I think Albert Antonio Silva's being played there because they need to sell him. He's their next asset to sell.
Right.
When actually Araújo should be there. He's probably not as valuable, but I agree with you. I think he's a much better player. And as you say, I think actually on the large, the right back position became quite interesting, right? Because I don't know if Bar's fit, he comes in, but Araújo did really well there. I think Araújo's passing range is great as well. And can you talk to me about Inacio, because
Yeah.
I love Inacio. I just don't know if he's maybe he's just quietly gone on the radar, but for me he just didn't stand out that much.
Well, for me, he did stand out. Although I think it's fair that you could look at Quaresma, Diamande, and Inacio and take your pick, really, because I think as a unit they were phenomenal, and I think it wasn't a surprise to see them ending the season with that as the preferred back line. And for me, with Inacio, it was about, I mean, I'm sure the listeners will start sensing like patterns here with what we like, but for me, it was about a young player taking on a leadership role. And I think he was the leader at the back more than Diamande and more than Quaresma. I mean, obviously, like, you're totally right, and I agree about Quaresma having the moments. And I've praised Quaresma for sort of embodying the fans in the team, if that makes sense. He has the passion for the club. Clearly, it runs through his veins. And those moments have, and that's kind of got him to have those elevated moments. But for me, Inacio is the consistency, the leadership, and I think he's got real class. Obviously, I've got him and Diamande, so I put them both kind of on the same level. But that's why I had, for example, Inacio over Quaresma. I had Inacio over Otamendi as well, which, again, that was a fairly tough pick. And also Araújo over Otamendi as well. But I think Otamendi had a good solid season, but I don't think he played better than we've seen in kind of few seasons before in the past. Whereas I felt like Araújo took a step up, Diamande took a step up, Inacio took a step up, Carreras took a step up. And actually, I look at that as a back four, and I think that's actually a really good back four. That's like a great unit, and you've got a lot of different assets covered there, a lot of different styles of play and stuff like that. So, but no, I wasn't trying to pick a system, but I was genuinely picking individuals, and I wanted, fullback. I did go for fullbacks, even though I agree with your point that outside of Carreras and Araújo, I don't think there are natural fullbacks that you would really pick at that level in the whole of the league. So maybe it would have been smarter to go for the back three, but no, I thought with those four players, I just thought it was four players who've really elevated their team, really increased their own ability this season, and I think all have phenomenal futures, ahead of them.
Well, Albert, you say you haven't sort of thought about the system, but you like you say that back four's solid, and then you told me your midfield three, and I was like, that's a beautiful combination of three players there.
Well, should we get to Hjulmand, Kotsu, and Mora? So I think we've got entirely different midfields in sense of terms of midfielders. I went for Hjulmand over De Bast. Again, I like both. But I think I said it in the player of the season conversation. For me, Hjulmand's the unsung hero of the Sporting team, the captain, the leader, the consistency. I think he had everything this season. So for me, that was actually that was one of my first choices in the whole team. Kotchu, maybe I'm not sure. Maybe if anyone will agree with that, but I think Kotchu had a really, really good season. And I know there were some questions over like how much he was actually contributing to games, maybe in terms of assists and goals and stuff like that. But every time I watched Kotchu, I thought he showed a lot of quality. And maybe this is one, Barney, in a way that your Gustavo Sarr pick, where you saw a player in a team that wasn't particularly performing well stand out. And maybe caught you at a different level for Benfica, who obviously did play very well, but there weren't so many standout players or headline catching players other than Pavlidis. And I thought, actually, if you look, every time I watched Benfica play, I just thought he had real quality that maybe wasn't being appreciated, like on the ball with his passing, his control. I thought he ran games at times in a way that kind of got overlooked, but maybe that was just me, but I still really like him as a player, so he came in for me. And it was Rodrigo Moura, my young player of the season, and I think a young man with a great future. So, yeah, that was a fairly easy one. I wanted to include him. So yeah, three different midfielders from you, but I think maybe that's a, I don't know, maybe that's a good sign.
I hearing you talk about Kotchu there actually made me think about I still think I have a vision of Kotchu, like when he arrived. I had a vision of like a number 10 banging in long ranges and all that. But actually what he's done, and maybe this is more on the large, is become the more all-rounder midfielder that Benfica needs. That sort of person who can, play from deep, and he's that. Yeah, I think, and maybe that's why I've never sort of held Kotchu in it as highly as I maybe should have. But I think that's a really good point that you've made about the maturity and the fact that he runs games and perhaps does a more sort of a quieter job than you sort of might expect.
That was my take on it. I just thought I'm trying to this season I was trying to reward players who I thought had reached great individual levels, and I thought Kotchu really ticked that box for me, so that's why he was in there. And then the front three, Trincão, you had Trincão. We spoke about Trincão and the Player of the Season awards. For me, Sporting's best player outside of Gyökeres, probably had his best individual season of his career. A bit maturer now. He contributed both with goals and assists, 9 goals, 14 assists. I think he's got everything. He's a great player, great ability. I think he could be a leader as well. So I really like him. Gyökeres, enough said. And Pavlidis, that was the one where positionally it didn't quite work. Otherwise, this 11 works really nicely. Maybe you play like a box midfield with Trincão as a 10 and then the two strikers. But yeah, Pavlidis with the 19 goals, played at a really high level, proved the doubters wrong, I think. So yeah, that was my front three. But yeah, no, I don't think any big debates this year, Barney. Sometimes we kind of fall out about the team of the seasons, but I think two, I think very valid teams.
Yes, I think we both had one ported player each in the week, which is quite interesting. No Braga players. I think
And do you know what, Barney? Between us, only one player not in the big three. I mean, obviously we're going to come on to the non-big three 11, but I think in past years we've had more players from outside the big three in the actual team of the season.
But no, I maybe I was being a bit indulgent putting Gustavo Sá there, but
It's all right. It's all right. We'll feed you. No, it's a nice pick. But I think that is a good point. It does bring us on nicely to the non-big three 11, because I suppose there is a reason that we do this. Obviously, every season we try and give as much focus as we can to the smaller teams. The media landscape is so dominated by the big three, and we've always tried to champion the smaller clubs and the hidden gems from outside the big three. But before we start, Barney, it is a point that I think is worth making, and I want to get your opinion on it. Is and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but how many players from outside of the big three this season have really, really stood out, have really taken the league by storm? And are there really many players that you look at and you go, that player is going to get a big move next season?
Yeah, it's felt like there's been Very little. And I think it goes back to that point I was making at the beginning about how I feel like systems of manager systems have been the success this year rather than individuals. And I haven't got the knowledge or expertise to explain it properly or succinctly, but I do think there is something in the 3-4-3 formation and how it's being proved to be quite successful in Portugal, and how that doesn't so much rely on individual brilliance rather than like a team collective. I don't know. There's probably something that someone could write a really interesting article who's more knowledgeable than me, but I think I don't know. Thinking about the individual brilliance of the smaller teams, and I do wonder if there is a, we've talked about it a lot. There's been such a shift in where players are coming from in this league. Teams are getting smarter across the world in terms of picking up younger talent earlier. There's less loan signings at the moment in this league from the B teams, which we've previously seen from the big teams. So there has been a shift this year, it feels. And yeah, I it's hard to describe, isn't it? There has been some good players, but they're just, it doesn't feel like a, there's no one really from this year that we would put as a, like a long ball football legend. Do you know what I mean?
It's very true, yeah.
There usually was one or two, but there hasn't been this year.
Well, I think it's the point you make that is really fair is that it's been a lot more about team success rather than rather than individual success at the lower end. Santa Clara as a unit, great success. Even Vitória as a unit did very well. Estoril as a unit did very well. Santa Clara as a team survived. It wasn't like individual players carrying those teams to a higher place. And I think maybe that's, if I'm speculating, a trend we might see a bit more often in Premier League as transfers become a bit shrewder and these clubs start building out squads with better players. So I think it's a good thing. It's a positive. You can take it as a positive, definitely. But yeah, Barney, shall we do it then? I'll tell you what, I'll go first this time. We'll run through our non-big three teams of the season. And again, just a reminder, this is a way to try and shed some light onto the unsung heroes of the Pro Liga. All right, I'll do my first. I'll run through the team and then we'll go through the players and talk about them. I went for a 4-4-2, which I think is a formation you don't see very often in Portugal, but it was the best way I could find to fit my players in. My goalkeeper, Barney, I chose Lucas França from Nacional. My back four, from right to left, I went for Victor Gomes from Braga, Sidney Lima from Santa Clara, Justin de Haas from Famalicão, Mateus Araújo at left back from Santa Clara, and then the midfield four, right wing, Roger from Braga. Central midfield, Thiago Silva from Vitória. Alongside him, Jordan Holsgrove from Estoril. And then on the wing, Gabriel Silva from Santa Clara. And then Barney, I've got a feeling you're going to like this strike partnership of Begraoui from Estoril. And of course, the general, Clayton from Rio Ave, my hero. So yeah, I
Love
thought I
that.
found this a really nice fun one to pick. Some positions I thought there were lots of candidates. Some positions I thought there wasn't so much. So yeah, I guess the goalkeeper Lucas França from Nacional. We've said it a few times, Barney. You do see good goalkeepers lower down the league in the Primeira Liga because they face a lot of shots. So there's a lot of opportunities to kind of stand out. And Lucas França I thought was just somebody who. Well, when you combine the success that Nacional had or just their survival, and I think when I looked at him in goal, I often saw him making quite big saves, a lot of saves in the box. I did have a little look at the stats, even though I'm not a real big stats guy, and he seems to be making a lot of saves from inside the box. So I think, for a team like Nacional who were conceding a lot of shots, and obviously trying to grind out points that are going to get them to survival, I thought he really made the difference. I think in a lot of games between kind of wins and losses, keeping the momentum on his team side, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. I think, yeah, he stands out on the stats side. You know that this I this is I feel like this is the famous position and the stat for me in our award shows. I think I had Nakamura in my team of the season one
I
time.
loved him.
I don't think Franco's quite there, but like you say, he's done a really good job in CD Nacional steering clear of any sort of danger all season has been, yeah, partly due to him. He's been great.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the goalkeeper is such an important position for survival. Like, if you look at a club like Boavista, if they'd had Vacilic all season, maybe they'd be in a different position because they really
Yes.
struggled with the goalkeeper position all season, didn't they? And that probably didn't help their league survival bid. So that's just one example. And then, yeah, my back four. So Victor Gomez from Braga. I think a familiar name with a lot of people.
Talk to me a bit about that because he was in my team of the season, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. The main team in the season. Yeah. So he's been around a bit.
But
Go on.
I was going to say it's really hard to I feel like maybe in my head Braga's season has been a failure, but I actually think Carvajal going to those fullback positions in Gomez, as you mentioned, and Tisumba, the young player who had
Yeah.
a good second, going back to those roots of having those fullbacks in, because he was out of the team last year a bit, Gomez,
Yeah.
but he's still a really good young player.
Well, to be honest, Brian, what it just comes down to is I just still rate him. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I haven't forgotten about him just because Braga haven't been that spectacular. I mean, he hasn't got insane numbers, but I think if you're looking for a fullback outside of the top three clubs, I think he's the best. He's the best. One of the best players outside the top three clubs. If I'm being honest, like, I still really rate him. Yeah. That's it, really. I mean, I know he's, like I said, I know Braga have not had their best season, but I just think there's no point beating around the bush and pretending that, you know, because I know there's a couple of right backs that you could choose from, but I just think he's the best one, if I'm being honest, frank and honest with myself and the listeners. Like, just because Braga haven't been spectacular doesn't mean that he shouldn't kind of get his plaudits. And I still think he's a top player. And I think he's, you know, I don't necessarily think he's beyond Braga in terms of ability, but, I think he's definitely what at the top end of their players. So, yeah, a player that I really like. And then, yeah, Sidney Lima at Santa Clara. I thought it was important to recognise Santa Clara in the defence. I actually did twice, obviously. So maybe I'll do him and Mateus Araujo. Sidney Lima at centre back, Mateus Araujo at left back. Araujo's kind of been playing left back, left wing back. You can also do the back three as well on the left side. But I thought Sidney Lima was probably the heart of that defence. And I think they've been good defensively, and I think that's why I wanted to recognise Sidney Lima, and then Mateus Araujo, who has actually been a very adaptable and attacking threat, as well as being solid at the back, and actually a very well-rounded player that I like that a lot. So those two, that's why they were in. And then Justin De Haas, Barney,
I like
the
that.
Primeira Liga van de Ven,
Yeah.
as I've dubbed him. I really like him.
And
Tall,
he's on
strong,
pens, Albert, and he's on
and he
pens.
takes the pens. I think he, again, another underrated player, like you were saying with Gustavo Sarr, because their season wasn't spectacular. Maybe you don't look at him as a real standout player, but I think a real quality player that I like a lot, and I can see moving to, yeah, a bigger club.
Yeah, I think the I know I've actually got a Santa Clara defender in my team. There's not one of
Okay.
those two, but I think the point you made is perfect in the sense that they're very well rounded. They do a
Yeah.
lot. They're not just defenders. There's a lot on the ball. There's a lot of work they do. And Arujo particularly, like he was very effective on the going forward as well. Go on, do the midfield again. Just talk to me about a couple of
Midfield.
midfielders.
I'll try not to take too long. But yeah, so Roger on the wing from Braga. I mean, we discussed him in the young player of the season. Still so young, 19, and really for me, going from a promising young player to one of Braga's best players. And I think that was important. Thiago Silva from Vitória in the midfield. I've always liked Thiago Silva, Vani. I've always liked him. That experienced player, the agility, the creativity, the set plays, the dead ball specialist, passing, great vision. I've always liked him. And I thought, you know, we talked about Vitória finishing outside of the European places, but I still thought they had a good season. So I did want to include a Vitória player in my team. I that was important. I thought, you know, they do deserve a good, a little, like a shout, you know, some recognition. Holzgrove for Estoril, probably their best
So good.
midfielder.
So good.
Yeah, really happy to see him back in Portugal and playing well. Is he staying from Panathinaikos now, Barney? I kind of, or Olympiakos, excuse me.
It's Olympiakos, isn't it? And I don't know. I wonder if I don't know what Olympiakos have done this year. But if they're back in Europe, I don't know if that's
Yeah.
sensible. If I was Marinakis and I was aware of him, I'd want him at Olympiakos for sure. I think
Yeah.
Forrest is a step too far, but I think he's
Probably.
so good. He's so special, man. He's an incredible midfielder.
I think he might. I think he might have signed permanently.
Oh, that's great news.
So
Well,
yeah,
they
we'll
got the
see.
Scottish connection, haven't they?
Well,
That
exactly. He's got his fellow countrymen. So yeah, and then the winner, Gabriel Silva, Barney, the fastest man
mm.
in the Premier League, a great
Albert,
attacking.
I only saw
Go
that
on.
video like last week.
Yeah.
I don't know where I just missed that. Unreal.
Yeah, great attacking player, really exciting, a big part of Santa Clara's success, in an attacking sense. So yeah, that was Gabriel Silva for me. And then yeah, the strikers, Begraoui, great player for Estoril, scored a lot of goals, really well-rounded player as well physically, and with the technical ability. And then yeah, Clayton speaks for himself, my hero, the and a linked with a move to Sporting as well. For decent money, so
Oh, wow.
scored a lot of goals for Real. I have a player that I like a lot. I think people know how much I like Clayton. So yeah, those two up front I thought was a nice little partnership.
Well, I've got four players from your 11 and mine.
Oh, very good. Well, all right, that's a good segue. Let's hear it. Go on.
Okay, well, I've gone for the 3-4-3 again.
Nice.
In goal, I've gone with Patrick Sequeira from Casapia,
Nice.
the Costa
Good keeper.
Rican
Good
good
keeper.
keeper. I think similar to you, the stats speak out. I don't know. There's something about him which I've liked this year. It's the fact. Maybe it's just this Costa Rican, but I think that Casapia have had one of these teams as well who have. They've done pretty well. Nothing to shout home about. Nothing spectacular. Well, I think he's been very good. I think he's
Yeah.
he's and I think his his stock's risen this year. I think he's put in a really good performance for himself. I was going to mention a couple of others because I agreed with Franca, but I also Hornacek. He didn't have the full season, but I
Yeah,
think
true. Very
very good.
promising.
And actually, Zlombin at Famalicão, I think
Good
another one.
keeper. Yeah.
Good keeper. And someone he's been around for a long time, but he's had another good year. But anyway, I think Patrick Sequeira for me just pips it for Casapia. And then my back three, Albert, I've got Chico Lamba from Arouca, Garcia from CD Nacional, and MT from Santa Clara, the defender but you didn't have from Santa Clara. I think, like you said, a lot of players in Santa Clara who do really well. MT for me, I remember when he was first in the Premier League. I think he was playing left back, and at that time he was getting forward. He was an attacking player. This year he's sort of become a sort of left-sided centre back, and I think he's really
Yeah.
adapted well to that. I like him. He just stands out for me. I think it's more of a rather than stats, he's more of a player that's I like
Yeah,
to
sure.
watch. And then Garcia for Cine Nacional, sort of right back, right wing back, rates highly on stats. Fifth in the league for passes into the penalty area, first for crosses into the penalty area, second for tackles won, third for dribblers tackled.
Wow.
Both attacking and defensive stats, he scores highly. And I think it goes back to what we were saying about Cine Nacional as a whole. They've had a really good system, and they've had players who just fit into those roles really well, and I think Garcia fits really well into that right side of.
How old is he as well, Barney?
He's not too old. I think he's like, is he like 22 Brazilian? I think,
Okay.
let me make sure I get that right, actually.
Yeah,
23,
good
sorry.
age. Yeah.
I think, did he come from Palmeiras? So like it's a he's going back on there on loan. I wonder if he will see him back in the league. But yeah, really good season for him. And Chico Lamba, I think for Arouca. Arouca have had a few good centre backs in the past few years. Apoku springs to mind, but Lambert sort of took the gamble, didn't he? He left Sporting's academy, Sporting's B team, and he made the move to Arouca. This season, I think he's come on leaps and bounds. Like, I think he's a really classy centre back. Midfield. So, yeah, sort of going back to what we were saying about how like it seems to be less individual. So I've got a mixture of players who I just like, just because, and players who rank highly stats wise. Because I always like reading my stats. I also had Holsgrohe Albert. I think
Yeah, nice.
the thing I was going to say after hearing you talk about him was, you know, Cafu played the 3-4-3. He was one of the two men in the central midfield. But Anselmi's Porto. I don't know. It feels like a good fit.
Now that to me is interesting.
That is interesting, isn't it? That I think he could do a really good job there. We've talked about Hosgrohe Lowe. I think he's a really quality player, so good at passing. Anyway, I'll move on from him. But I also had Roger Fernandez, Albert. We've spoken a lot this podcast about him. And then my two other ones. So for my stats guy, I've gone for Luis Esteves from CD Nacional.
Okay, nice.
Now, I haven't watched too much of him. I just sort of, this is more of a stats-based thing. He's eighth in the league for shots taken, ninth in the league for progressive passes, fifth in the league for shot creating actions, and 10th for fouls drawn. It's just,
Nice.
it's a nice combination of
It does
stats,
paint a picture of the
isn't
player. I've watched him a few times. I quite like him. I mean, he didn't stand out as a lot, but I always thought he was a tidy player, definitely.
Yeah, and he can play on the right hand side, so that's why I sort of squeezed him into my team. And finally, João Mendes from Vitória.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
Released, you know, he's not
Yeah.
his contract's not
I think
renewed.
a lot of clubs should be looking at him. That'd be a really smart signing for a lot of teams.
I think his time at Vitória is just one of those. The comparison that comes to my head, Albert, is, and it's not perfect, but it's a sort of an easy one for people to digest, is Jamie Vardy, because it's like a player coming quite late to a big club.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's a weak comparison, but you know the sentiment's there. Like I just think he's been incredible. He scored some incredible goals. I think it's just a
He loves
really
a
good.
screamer.
He loves a screamer, and I've always really liked him. I think your Thiago Silva shout is great because if we're being sensible, he is the better player for sure. But still, for me, João Mendes is just a couple of games here and there. He's been the difference, and yeah, I think that's been really good.
Yeah, very nice.
Attacking players, yeah, two of the same. Clayton and Bagary, similar to you, just really
Yeah.
good strikers. And then here's the one that I think this is the one that's been the most controversial on my team, Albert, because I don't think I would have picked him on face value. But then when I was digging into the statistics, I was like, hang about, what, why haven't I been thinking more about him? And it's Felix Correa for Gil Vicente.
Barney, I agree completely. This is
Yeah.
not controversial. I think he's a really, really good player.
Yes. Gil Vicente have had a terrible season. Maybe I haven't watched him enough, but he was not really on my radar. He was last year. And then I dig into the statistics, right? And I'm just going to list off he ranks in the top 10 for various statistics, and it's absolutely unreal, right? So expected goals, ninth in the league. Expected assisted goals, seventh. Key passes, fifth in the league. Passes into the penalty area, first. Through balls, first. Expected assists, fifth. Crosses, first. Shot creating actions, fifth. Progressive carries, ninth. Carries into the penalty area, sixth. Progressive passes received, second. Minutes played, seventh. And maybe that's the most important, right? Because
Yeah, it's not just a handful of games.
no, like
Yeah.
it's outstanding.
Do you know what that says to me, Barney? You put him in a big team and he will match the level he will provide.
Albert, I thought if Roger goes, he comes in. Do you know what I mean? Like if Roger Fernandez
I
goes,
don't
right?
mind that at all.
We know he's had the talent. He's obviously got that move to Juventus back in the past, like a real hot young player. Gil Vicente have had a really turbulent season, but those statistics just stood him out like by a mile. Like you know, he's a. I've always liked him, but those really shocked me because yeah, that's you know that's, and you know, sort of coming back to the original point about are there many players this year of Core RI? If we're being realistic, I would say he is probably the most suitable to move up to one of those. Oh, maybe it's just Braga level. I don't know. But of all those players, like in both our teams, I wonder if he's the most suited to moving to a bigger club. I don't know if you.
I don't mind that at all. I think for me, I think he's got more to prove.
Yes.
But he also it's chicken and egg situation because then he also needs the opportunity. So I think you're right. Maybe, I mean, if he was to move to a club like Vitória or
Yeah.
Braga and take that slight step up in his career and prove that he could do it, maybe there is like a future where he plays for a top club in his league again because he's had his chance at big clubs and it hasn't quite worked out. And even at Gil Vicente, like you said, for whatever reason, he's not always been looked at as the one of the best players. Maybe there is a consistency issue, something like that. But there's a great opportunity for a player like Felix Correa to really get their career back on track. And yeah, I completely agree. I considered him for my team, but I think for me, it was just having not seen enough of him to like to get it.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't why, but I mean, look, he's been highly rated a lot, so I can totally, yeah, I'd love it if he translated those statistics into a real kind of eye-catching season and kicked on from there because yeah, he's a very, very exciting talent, definitely. All
Yeah.
right, well, there you go. Two great teams. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Two very different teams. As always, if you want to get involved and do your own, please do and send it to us. We'd love to see them. Pick your best 11 of the season, not including players from the big three and your reasons why. I think it's a fascinating exercise and it does really go to show a lot of the talent that we have in this league. All right, well, Barney, shall we leave it there and perhaps draw a curtain on this season as a whole? If you're listening to this on the main feed, this may well be the last you hear of me and Barney this season. This will be our final episode. We do have a couple of bits planned for our Patreons, some exclusive stuff. So if you're not sick of us by this point of the season, feel free to head over there and check out the Patreon because there'll be some exclusives dropping over the next few days. But yeah, I guess we'll leave it there, Barney. Do you want to have any last words as we draw a close on the 24-25 season?
Oh, I mean, thanks again for another great year. Thanks for all your support and listening this whole time. It's been, I think, well, for me personally, it's been harder to focus this year. I've had lots going on outside of Portuguese football, but it's been as enjoyable as ever. I've loved having the guests on this year. I think that's been a really good addition to the
Yes.
podcast. And yeah, I mean, I'm still rooting for Portuguese football. I feel like
Me too.
I don't know if it's the whole Amorim at Man U situation, but I feel like people are doubting it a bit more now. But I don't know. I disagree. I still think it's got so much to offer.
Absolutely. And we should say this was our fifth full season, so we've now been doing this for 5 whole years, which is absolutely incredible. And I know there's one or two of you listening who have been listening since that first season, for which we say a very extra special thank you. But of course, a big thank you to everybody who's listened, whether this you've dipped in and out of this season or you've listened to most of the episodes. It's of course a great pleasure for us that people tune into this show, and it's a great pleasure for us making it as well. So we look forward to continuing the podcast into next season. We'll of course be back next year. When it kicks off again, as always, over the summer you won't be hearing a lot from us. We'll probably take some time off from doing the show, but we will be still on our Twitter at Long Ball Football. If you want to check us out there, you can always message us as well if you like, and we're happy to like chat to people, anything like that. Of course, we're still on the Patreon as well. If you want to get involved, chat not only to us but to the other members of the community, you can do so there. But yeah, there you go. I think that's it, Barney. Let's leave it there.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you very much once again for listening. And we'll see you on another podcast very soon.
Yeah, see you next time.